Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life with Lizzie and Justin. And we are Third Space. We want to welcome you here and let you in on a sweet little secret, which is that every time we begin, Justin says, "Lizzie, you're starting and I'm watching time." And every time I think, oh, that's a surprise that that's happening. And if you are a longer term listener, you'll realize that for a long time, I didn't understand the algorithm, which is that if you choose the source, you don't start talking at the beginning. And I just thought Justin was really, really clever because he always knew what was going to happen. And I hadn't clocked until about year five that it was always to do with who had chosen the source rather than a kind of monitoring of who was going first each time. So I'm forever amused and amazed at my being slow on the uptake of behind the scenes. And so this week, obviously, Justin has chosen this beautiful source by Maya Stein. Maya, thank you always for all of your work. And so because he's chosen it, I'm starting and talking at the beginning to welcome everybody and to welcome both of us. And he said, "Lizzie, you're starting and I'm watching time," because I chose the source. And still, after 7 years or however long it's been, Justin, I'm like, oh, it's me. I'm going first. So I'm very amused at myself this morning and feeling very welcoming of this conversation in amongst. So for me, we've broken up from school in our house and we're kind of in the lovely slippery slope towards Christmas, but there's lots of illness in the house and just having this time to be in reflection and wondering with the help of Maya and you, Justin, is a real gift. And so if you're listening, it's coming up to the kind of holiday season, Christmas time, 2024, when everybody kind of hibernates a little, I think. And maybe this conversation will be in support of your hibernation and your being in the quiet times of the dark and cold, if you live in England, days of winter. And maybe if you live in California, you can feel our wintriness and feel that coming into your life as well. And Justin, thank you for always having your finger on the source pulse, finding things that are just right for the time and just right for us when they come. I'm very, very glad to be wandering into the field of Mayan-ness with you.
Thanks, Lizzie. Very good to see you. I think you've totally fully explained for anyone who watches on our turningtowards.life website or on YouTube why you have this magnificent green tinsel on your head, especially if they're watching or listening in the summertime or something like that. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, everyone. It's very good to be here. And first of all, before we get to the source, I want to say thank you to Maya Stein. Maya, your poetry is such a gift, and you're so generous with us in so freely giving of it to us so that we can read and learn and share from it. So I'm excited to get to that in a moment. Lizzie, yesterday I was at, yesterday afternoon, I was at a talk by someone who was talking about some of the more painful and difficult and intractable situations in the world, some of the kinds of things that we very easily despair about and can very easily feel stuck in. And he says something that I thought was very appropriate to turning towards life, but also to Third Space, which Turning Towards Life comes from. And it's related to something that we often say at the beginning of programs, but he said it in a very moving way that I wanted to bring in this morning. He said that even in the darkest, the most difficult, the most intractable situations, that one of the things that he holds on to is that people can be wonderful. And I really appreciated his turn of phrase, which is that people can be wonderful, that commitment to know that inside us and of us there's a really deep inherent goodness that if it's given a chance to come, can be brought into the world. And isn't that what we long for? And the way that he said it, and he's someone who's really thought about this a lot, is that although in one way we are, it's also how we bring ourselves to the world. It's we can be. We don't always bring ourselves to the world in wonderful ways, and that's obvious just from looking at how difficult and how painful and how violent and how unfair and unequal the world is. And I, later on in the talk, he said, one of the ways that we were talking about how things change, and there's lots to say about how things change, but one of the things he said was that one of the ways that things change this way, these days, is the drip, drip, drip of podcasts into people's ears.
Mm.
And I thought about this, and I thought about us, and I thought that, and Maya's poem, I think, is about this too, as much of her poetry is. It's a call to our goodness. It's a call to our wonderfulness. And maybe that's a big part of what turning towards life is that when we turn back towards life itself, when we turn back to one another, to ourselves, to our fullness, to our essential depth, to our capacity, we have the chance to reawaken in ourselves the goodness that we can be. That maybe when we're asleep and on automatic and very frightened and very certain and all of those kind of things can be harder to bring. And so if turning towards life can be part of the drip, drip, drip into our ears, Lizzie, you and I, and all of you who are alongside us, and maybe other people you know because you share it with people, if this can be one part of our collective turning towards our capacity, our courage, our sincerity, our integrity, our care, our love, our openness to one another, our capacity to take steps to set things right in the world, set things, put things back together in the world, repair things in the world, then I think that would be a wonderful thing. Mm. So I wanted to declare that perhaps that's what we're up to. And if that call to be drip, drip, dripping the repair of the world appeals to you and you want to share it, just a reminder before we get into the source this morning that you can, of course, share the link to the podcast or to the, or Turning Towards Life or to the particular episode, share it widely with people. And you can also support us by writing a review. We have had some wonderful reviews on Apple Podcasts, but it's been a while since anyone's taken a few minutes to do one of those. And it would be such a delight to see one of those come in. And then that helps people find us. That's the reason to do it. And you can support us too. If you go to turningtowards.life, there are ways of supporting us. But mostly how this happens is you listen and you talk and maybe you write back to us, hello at or Lizzie or Justin at turningtowards.life, or you share it with other people. And we all become part of being in a conversation together about what it really takes to be alive with the kind of generosity that I think our times really need. And that's why this poem, when Maya, when I saw Maya post this poem, Maya, that you wrote some time ago, and this came up on Maya's Facebook feed, and I asked Maya if we could use it, and she said yes. So here it is. So this is, as always, on the page on turningtowards.life. You can get it in the weekly email if you sign up there. It'll come into your inbox. It's also in our Facebook group and in the show notes for the podcasts. It's called Believe. Maybe the camera crew is at someone else's house, a spotlight haloing over another's fleshy story. Maybe the mailman is delivering the good news to your neighbour or a different city entirely, and you come home to a rash of catalogues, the second notice for a doctor's bill, a plea from do-gooders for whatever you can spare. Maybe you haven't cleaned your kitchen floor in weeks, forgotten to nourish the front garden, spilled too much coffee in your car weaving through traffic. Maybe you're 10 pounds heavier than last year. Maybe your skin is betraying your age. Maybe winter is ravaging your heart. Maybe you are afraid or lonely or furious or wanting out of every commitment you entered with such vigour and trust. Maybe you've bitten your nails down to the quick, chosen your meals badly, ignored the advice of those who know you best. Maybe you are stubborn as a toddler. Maybe you are clumsy or foolish or hasty or reckless. Maybe you haven't read all the books you're supposed to. Maybe your handwriting is still illegible after all these years. Maybe you spent too much on a pair of shoes you didn't need. Maybe you left the window open and the rain ruined the cake. Maybe you've destroyed everything you've ever wanted to save. Still, If anything, believe in your own strange loveliness. How your body, even as it stumbles, angles for light. The way you hold a dandelion with such yearning and tenderness, the whole world stops spinning.
You just Believe by Meyerstein. Maybe the camera crew is at someone else's house, a spotlight haloing over another's fleshy story. Maybe the mailman is delivering the good news to your neighbour, or a different city entirely, and you come home to a rash of catalogues, the second notice for a doctor's bill, a plea from the do-gooders for whatever you can spare. Maybe you haven't cleaned your kitchen floor in weeks, forgotten to nourish the front garden, spilled too much coffee in your car weaving through traffic. Maybe you're 10 pounds heavier than last year. Maybe your skin is betraying your age. Maybe winter is ravaging your heart. Maybe you're afraid or lonely or furious or wanting out of every commitment you entered with such vigour and trust. Maybe you've bitten your nails down to the quick, chose your meals badly, ignored the advice of those who know you best. Maybe you are stubborn as a toddler. Maybe you're clumsy or foolish or hasty or reckless. Maybe you haven't read all the books you're supposed to. Maybe your handwriting is still illegible after all these years. Maybe you spent too much on a pair of shoes you didn't need. Maybe you left the window open and the rain ruined the cake. Maybe you've destroyed everything you've ever wanted to save. Still, if anything, believe in your own strange loveliness. How your body, even as it stumbles, angles for light. The way you hold a dandelion with such yearning and tenderness, the whole world stops spinning.
Thank you, Lizzie. After this long and very familiar list of maybes, I was laughing to myself, and also first time I read this, sort of recriminating with myself, Lizzie, over all the ones I recognised. And how much self-judgment I had, how much despair I had over how far the image of myself and the actuality of myself can be, you know, the longed-for image, can, how far apart from one another they can seem. It was such a tender, heartbreaking, actually, and beautiful relief to read these words. Maybe you've destroyed everything you've ever wanted to save still. If anything, believe in your own strange loveliness. And I'm picking up here a little bit from, this is a little sort of backwards advertisement to the conversation we had, I think, last week, Lizzie, when you brought a wonderful source from Rainer Maria Rilke, who said something along the lines of everything we find in the world, is us, and we're made for it. We shouldn't feel so alien in the world, because the world and us, we're not so different to one another. That one of the troubles that we have, I think, is the paradox that the standards that we set for ourselves. If I take all of the lines, the first lines of the poem, I could say, yes, I never want to be clumsy or foolish or hasty or reckless or stubborn as a toddler, or lonely, furious, or wanting out of all my commitments. And everything else in that list, I can so easily hold an image of myself that is sort of godlike in its perfection. And when I actually look around the actual world's not like that at all. The actual world is messy and chaotic and incomplete and incomprehensible in many ways. Why on one level should I expect myself to be any different to any of those things? And I suppose for me, I guess this is true for many, many other people, Lizzie, that the distance between the very well-intentioned standards, and I think standards are wonderful, by the way, in so many ways that we care about things, but the distance between the impossible perfection standards that I hold and my actual lived body and skillfulness and mistakes and confusion can so easily be a source of a very bitter kind of self-recrimination or fear. Like, if I can't get myself together, If I can't get my life to be to meet the image, then in some way I must already be the most total abysmal failure. And if I'm the most total and abysmal failure, then how am I ever going to take care of the things and the ones that I care for? And if that, how am I going to take care of myself? And it runs on into this long train of growing self-judgment. So it's such a kindness, and I also think it's so necessary to read Maya's words, and then for us to be able to say to ourselves, yes, yes, I am all of those things. I am messy and late and stubborn and inconsistent and filled with mistakes. And there's something really, really beautiful and precious here. And that's why I love these words, believe in your own strange loveliness. Something about recognizing that our strangeness to ourselves, actually, all the ways that we don't match the image we would like to have of ourselves, that is something holy and sacred in and of itself. And I think that that's the doorway to everything, really. Like all of the repair we're going to effect in the world, if we're going to be able to effect it, has to start with recognizing our always in completeness.
I feel, Justin, like in those moments when you were talking, I'm just the same as anyone else listening to this little podcast of ours, and noticing how much is going on inside me and feeling curious as to what's going on inside everyone else as they listen. Because it really is something to let your words and Maya's words have their way with my inner life, and to see what emerges and what thoughts come to me, what I can resonate with, and what it gives birth to inside of my thinking and feeling and my imagination of myself. So I'm feeling really grateful to be listening, and grateful that we're in some way kind of generating an experience for ourselves and others that has us wonder about all of this stuff. So I'm really feeling a lot as you're talking and wondering about myself and life and why things are the way they are. And, you know, 100 roots have kind of found their way in me in your talking and listening to us reading Maya's words. And one of the things that arose in me was a kind of gratitude for all of the people I've been lucky enough to be plonked with in this life, where we can actually be honest with each other about how we are, and a gratitude, Justin, for the kind of spaces we create together, where we don't have to be some version of ourselves that meets some criteria, but we are inherently constantly always promoting and cultivating this way of sharing and being that's truthful. And then creating experiences where we can turn up in the whatever mess we're in, and then the people around us don't run away and say, oh dear, well, yeah, you really are something else. And no, they just say, oh, tell me more. By inherent in their listening, inherent in their presence, is a kind of yes and, rather than a load of judgments or a kind of walking away. So I'm feeling really glad of that, because like you, it's very easy for me to identify all of the hard times I give myself and all of the things I do to myself and in service of this, of the main part of this piece of writing, the kind of critic that exists inside of me. And I'm not sure that that kind of goes away, but what I'm realizing is that the bit about my own strange loveliness and my tenderness and the yearnings I have and the who-ness of me, because of this, Justin, what we do here and all the other things that we're committed to in the realm of inquiry and togetherness and relationship, the bottom bit of this poem has become way, 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 way bigger than the top piece of this poem. And that's what I was feeling grateful for as you were speaking, because of course I can identify it, but I kind of know it for what it is now. I know that the top piece of this poem isn't really going to take me home. It's going to take me somewhere, but it's not going to be filled with home and warmth and all of the things that I value in my life. And so I'm feeling wondrously grateful at our human capacity to be in relationship with one another and to be straightforward and disclosive and kind and welcoming of whatever the reality is. Whatever is real, whatever is true, let's have that thing rather than whatever is kind of made up as a picture to present to one another, because I think I'm living up to some kind of standard that you might be expecting from me. And it's making me think of yesterday. We had some people come around to our house and we had a really good laugh about all the things that everybody does before people come around to the house and how our children are excellent at betraying all of the secrets. So somebody said a story of there was a family and the little girl answered the door and these guests came in and she said, "Oh, you're here. Great. Mum's been shoveling everything upstairs for hours for your arrival," you know, and it just made me think of how wonderful it is that we could just say that. And most probably a very good majority of people are shoveling things up the stairs before the guests arrive rather than, "Oh, this is just how we live, you know, in this perfection or something." And I love that there are people that we can be real with in that way, so that that isn't a source of our inner critic anymore, because it's welcomed in the light of and the warmth of relationship and acknowledgement that, yes, we're all in a mess. That's just basically what it is to be human. And you're welcome in my mess as I'm welcome in your mess. And Justin, over the years, I've realized how welcome I feel when I go around to somebody's house and it's a mess, because then I'm in their life with them rather than in the show home that they made for me to arrive and think something of them. It's such a different feeling. And of course, tidiness and beauty is lovely, and I don't think it's any more lovely than the mess that gets made by living and being real and participating in our lives. And I guess I have to be on that path because I have small children who burgle my house every day and throw everything out of drawers as an activity, and so that is the state that we live in most of the time here. And I really love to learn to breathe and value that over everything being shipshape. And if I didn't do that, I'd be in a lot of trouble, I think.
I think, Lizzie, one of the tensions here that Maya does such a wonderful job of addressing is that for the more judgmental parts of ourselves that we turn towards ourselves and we turn towards one another, we can have a sort of terrible binary standard here. So I might, for example, demand, "Lizzie, that you have to tidy up your house before I come round, and that's the only way that I will feel like you're taking care of me." That would be such an unhelpful standard. But equally, if I just flip it around the other way, if my house is in a mess and I can't, for one reason or another, because I've got little ones running all over the place, get it to the standard, the more standard-oriented judgmental parts of myself hold, I might imagine that that means I don't care about you when you're coming round. I'd say, don't come round to my house. Mm. And that is a sort of trying to reach for some language here, that way that we divide in ourselves between a kind of maybe perfection of skillfulness or perfection of care or perfection of ethics or something, and who we are, so that I say to myself, well, if I'm not perfect and godlike, then I can't belong and I can't be in a relationship with you. And if you're not, you can't belong and can't be in a relationship with me. That is also the source of, it might come from, in one way, at its best, it comes from wanting to take care of things. At its worst, it comes from wanting to impress one another. But that kind of binary can really divide us from one another. And I can feel it in myself as I'm talking, the part of me that goes, yeah, but if you allow for the house to be messy, or if I say I'm stubborn as a toddler, which I easily can be, or afraid or lonely or furious or wanting out big commitments, if I admit to that, that must mean that I'm a person with no standards who doesn't care. And we can get into that place. But, you know, it seems to me that one of the places that our big difficulties between humans in our lives come where we don't have high enough standards for care of one another. Like, we don't care enough about one another's pain and suffering and difference and all of those kind of things. And then the other place that we get into trouble is where we have such high standards that because we are messy, incomplete, complex, strange humans, we never get to have the conversations for repair, because that would require admitting all the ways in which our standards are just bonkers for us. And that's why I really, really appreciate that Maya's poem goes from this long list of all the things that in one way or another seem to fall short, or we might have judgments about falling short, and actually also just ordinary, real complexity of being a human. And then she says, firstly, believe in your own strange loveliness, which I take to be a real recognition of how mysterious and complex and beautiful humans are, even in the midst of all of that. And the faith that our bodies, even as they stumble, angle for light, with yearning and tenderness. So what I want to be able to do in the person who, Lizzie, whose talk I was at yesterday, who was talking about people can be wonderful, I want to name him because he was such a wonderful teacher, a man called Moshe Lavi. And he was talking about, you know, really some of the most painful spots in the whole world. And one of the things I learned from him is we have to find our way into the conversations where our yearning and our tenderness and our angling for light has even a chance of blossoming. Now, that could be on world scale, but it can also be with our partners in our homes, or the friends we've fallen out with, or the people in our community we've got into difficulty with, or whatever it is. And that in order to be able to do all of that, we have to be able to say to one another, I'm clumsy and foolish and hasty and reckless, and I haven't read all the books I'm supposed to, and my handwriting's illegible, and my heart is filled with such yearning and tenderness and angling for light. Let's talk. That's what we have to be able to do, is to be able to hold the messiness of the house and the wish that we might have that you know, that I could clear all of this up so it was really beautiful. To be able to hold all of that together, because both parts of that, our incompleteness and our yearning, are both parts of us. And I suppose where I'm reaching for as I'm talking is that if we cut off one part of that, that's where we get ourselves into trouble. If it's only our incompleteness or my judgments about your incompleteness, we're stuck. And if it's only our angling for light, but without a real acknowledgement of just how hard it is to be a person and to hold it all together, we're also stuck. And there's beauty in both. And we're still, in a way, on the hook for taking care of one another as very best we can, which might mean tidying the house, or it might mean come into the house in a mess and have a cup of tea and some realness and some frankness and some contact, all of which requires that we soften not our care, but our desperate clinging to impossible standards.
Yeah. And at the heart of it, Justin, for me is that realness. Like, if I'm real with you and somehow give you some permission to be real with me, all of that becomes possible. And this kind of admission, I guess, the kind of straightforward being honest, I might be really, 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 really happy today. And can I be honest with you about that? I might be really, really, really devastated today. Can I be honest with you about that? I might be holding myself to impossible standards and kind of crippling my insides because I'm failing the whole time. Can I be honest with you about that? And to feel like we can cultivate those places of warmth and welcome, where essentially we just don't feel alone in our own dynamics of being, like you said, like the difficulty of being a human. Because everywhere I look, you know, there's these very brave people who are kind of talking about the huge big things in the world, and this is where they come back to as well. like this person that you've heard speaking yesterday. It's such a, and I'm just thinking of Joanna Macy, Justin, as well, of, you know, this kind of turning towards one another in times of desperate awfulness, so that we can remember that each other is good, so that we can remember that actually the majority of the world has good, ordinary, straightforward kindness inside of it, and that we can make spaces, consciously make spaces, and be the kind of people where that good, ordinary kindness comes and flows between human beings. You know, I feel like that's the deepest kind of gratitude I have when we do the work that we do together, Justin, is that we make spaces for that kind of community to arise. And this is one of those places right here. And how wonderful that that is a response when it's so easy to feel very powerless, both in relationship to our own inner battles, but also to all of the battles that exist out there, apparently, in the world. And so it feels like a very powerful conversation to be in, which, you know, who knows that you could link this piece of Maya's writing to things really, really hard and horrible things that are happening in the world. But we can and we do, and that's what's called for. And I find myself feeling no less informed, obviously, of what's happening, but much more at peace within myself that I can be part of a world that's not the world that is creating, so that we're actually making a contribution with one another, so that as human beings on this earth, we're literally making a world that is filled with conversation, compassion, kindness, welcome. And that's meaningful. That matters. You know, as many humans as can be doing that as possible would have the world be different. And I love that's what we can be, that's what we can stand for, that's what we can create for one another. And also that we can know that that's possible. You know, I'm thinking, Justin, that there may be people listening who are in their kind of particular kind of loneliness, whatever that looks like, or separateness, and that this offers a kind of glimpse of possibility where we can really genuinely be a welcome for it all and keep saying yes and tell me some more, rather than turning away from one another, which seems to me to happen kind of every day in the streets where I live anyway, that people have their heads down and giving the impression that they're not up for connection. And I want to be a stand for someone who is up for connection, for keeping my head up, for looking and for smiling, and for when somebody looks confused, saying, do you need some help? Would you like some directions? And just feeling like I can make a world that's full of that, of making contact, like you said, being contactful and real, and having that be an intention, having that be a possibility that we're just straightforwardly embodying on a daily basis for everybody as best we possibly can.
Thinking, Lizzie, that we're reaching the end of our time, and I'm taking away from this conversation a possibility of a very real kind of practice to take up. And I'll say what it is, and it's inspired by this line in Maya's poem. And I think it's the case that with any kind of repair of the world that we want to do, and the place that we start is with ourselves, that we do affect repair in ourselves, and then we affect repair with the people who are closest to us, and then we affect repair in our communities, and we affect repair in the, you know, with people we meet on the street and in the shop, and then that's the way that change comes about in the world. So the practice is this. I'm going to take into this week, first of all, attending to my own strange loveliness and all the places where I fall very, very short, which is all over the place, or very, very messy, or very incomplete, or very confused, to treat that like a kind of light shining through me and into the world. And then, and maybe at the same time, I'm going to keep on looking for the strange loveliness of everyone who's around me, people in my family. And then when I go out on the street, and as you say, the temptation is to turn away, what would it be to look at every person as a, to believe in their strange loveliness, to believe in the way that even as they stumble, they're angling for light with yearning and tenderness so that the whole world stops spinning. And what a practice that is to hold, it seems to me it's a way of holding everything together, all of the pain and all of the mess and all of the beauty and all of the wonder, and then see what kinds of conversations start to unfold from there. In the easiest spots, but also in the most difficult spots. So I want to say thank you to you for being in the conversation that could invite that. And thank you again to Maya Stein for bringing us words that could open our way into this very particular kind of conversation. And I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie, for wearing sparkly green on your head today. So we can also feel that kind of celebratory nature. And thank you to everyone who's with us, all of you who are listening, watching. We're really glad you're with us. And we're going to end here. And all being well, we will see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.